glad that you're here again this evening. Hopefully you had a restful afternoon and be able to come back and study the Word of God with us. We appreciate those that are visiting with us again this evening. Have a number of folks visiting. We recognize that you're here and certainly invite you to linger for a little bit after the services. Invite you to come back at each and every opportunity that you might have to be with the church family here at Gardner Lane. Tonight we're going to be talking on the subject of Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And what we find here at this point in time is the children of Israel, they've left Sinai now. They were about a year and a little bit over 2 months at Sinai receiving the law. And as Moses tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, in the very beginning of the book, that it's only 11-day journey from Mount Sinai, actually, to the Promised Land. And they make their way here on this journey at this time. This is a very unique time that they're going to go into a land, and they're going to have 12 men that are going to spy out the land here in chapter 13 and 14. This hasn't been a long journey for them. Like I said, it just took them several days to get here. But as we understand what happens at the very end of this, that this is going to cause them, this 11-day journey, this is going to cause them to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. They were right here by the Promised Land in Padan Aram. And because of choices that they made, they had to wander for 40 years. But the thing I want to look at this evening is a statement that's made in chapter 13 and in verse 33. It says in Numbers chapter 13 and in verse 33, after they chose the 12 men, and really the only names that we recognize for the most part is that of Joshua and Caleb. In fact, it's called Hoshea, and they have to go back and explain that this, the son of Nun, is also called Joshua. But these are the names that we really recognize within this story, and the other 10, they made the decision that they were not going to be able to overtake the land. And this is the reason why they stated that fact, that we have become like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight. So we know something about grasshoppers. I think Bill was talking about grasshoppers tonight before church down in Florida, how big grasshoppers are there. It's sort of a nuisance in a lot of situations for a lot of people when you have to deal with grasshoppers. But we just want to look at this tonight from the standpoint of the grasshopper complex. Are the different mindsets that the two groups had, the group of 10 and the mindset that they had, and also the mindset that Joshua and Caleb has. So we'll just go through this rather swiftly tonight, and then the lesson will be yours. First of all, we'll talk about the 10 spies and the mindset that they had. First of all, we see they have a mindset of unbelief. Unbelief. When you turn over to Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, in verse 2, it says, "Send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give. Which I am going to give to the sons of Israel to send a man from each of their father's tribes, every one a leader from among them." So one of the first things we recognize in this is the attitude and the message that God has sent to these people, saying that I am going to give you the land. And what did these 10 spies say? What they say is, no, you're not. You're not going to give me the land because we are too small. We're like grasshoppers. There's no way that we can overtake this land. So one of the first things I would suggest to you as we study this and talk about the different mindsets, one of the first things we see here is these 10 men saying, God, you're a liar. There's no way in the world that we're going to be able to overtake this land because we are like grasshoppers and they are like giants. And they have forgotten. They have forgotten in verse 2 to where God has told them that I am going to give you this land. They didn't believe God. They had an attitude of unbelief. Also in Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 11, Numbers chapter 14, and in verse 11 it says, the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? What have they seen? They've seen miracles. They've seen the Red Sea parted. They've seen quail and manna. They've seen water come forth. It's not that they didn't believe in God. Certainly they believed in God, but they didn't believe God. We've talked about that before. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe the message that he had sent to them saying that I am going to give you this land. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, is Moses is very quickly retelling the law before he dies. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 26 beginning, it says, yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you grumbled in your tent, saying, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we are, and the cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides that, there are the sons of the Anakim there. And I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where he saw you, how the Lord your God carried you just as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all this, you did not trust the Lord your God. Yeah, we see the attitude about the people here. Secondly, we see that of a worldly sorrow. In Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 1, it says, and when the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept all that night. It wasn't tears of remorse. It wasn't a godly sorrow like we see over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. They want to go back to Egypt now. They're crying. They're afraid. They're afraid because they are grasshoppers. And there are giants in the land. Not only that, but we see as well that they murmured in chapter 14 and in verse 2. It says, and all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in the wilderness. They were busy. Busy complaining. That's one of the things I enjoy. Listen to people complain. But over in Deuteronomy and in chapter 1 and in verse 27. Chapter 1 and in verse 27. Because you grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. They've sat there at Sinai for a year and 3 months. Things are going relatively easy for them now. They're being fed every day. They're having something to drink every day. They had crossed the Red Sea, as we said. They had watched the plagues in Egypt. And then all of a sudden, in their minds, they have created this fact that now God is weak. There's no way in the world that God is going to be able to defeat these giants. And they murmur. They complain. Chapter 14, in verse 3. Another thing we see is they start to look back. Chapter 14, verse 3, it says, why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? To return to Egypt for what? What were they going to return to Egypt for? To go back to slavery again? Remember back in chapter 3 of Exodus, the Lord said to Moses, said, I have heard the cries of the people. They were crying to get out of there. But now they're wanting to go back to Egypt. Jesus said over in Luke and in chapter 9, and in verse 62, Luke chapter 9, and in verse 62, it said, Jesus said unto them, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When I would teach that in Bible classes down the country, the farmers, they would jump all over that. Not many people say that in the city. But they said, just think about trying to plow with your head turned. And, of course, we don't know much about that today in our society here in the city, but in the agricultural community, they understand about that. You just can't do it. Well, they were looking back. Not only that, but in chapter 14 and in verse 4, it says that they want another leader. They are tired of Moses. A year and 3 months later, after Moses led them out of Egypt, and towards Sinai, this isn't working for us. We need a new leader. Appoint us a leader and return to Egypt. But we understand back in Exodus and in chapter 3 that Moses was chosen as the leader at that time, as the Lord told him to take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. It says in verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and they give heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, to bring them up from that land to a good land, a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he goes on to tell of the mission of Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus in verse 10. Therefore come now and I will send you to Pharaoh, and you will bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. And again, Moses starts to make excuses. But here we see another one of the mindsets of the 10 spies, that they were traitors. They would rebel. In chapter 14 of Numbers and in verse 9, it says, "Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Over in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 26. He says, "Yet you who are not willing to go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God." They were rebelling against God's will. They were rebelling against God's way. They were provoking. They were provoking the Lord. Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people spurn me? How long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst?" They did not listen to the voice of God in chapter 14 and in verse 22. It says chapter 14 verse 22, "Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I have performed in Egypt and in the wilderness yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened. Have not listened to my voice." Not only that, we see as well they were violent. In chapter 14 and in verse 10, it says, "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel." They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb for what they had taught. You can go. You can go to the promised land. We can overtake this land with the power of God. And they weren't satisfied with that at all. They wanted to kill them. And then the last part here, it says that they were guilty of spiritual whoredom, spiritual adultery. In chapter 14 and in verse 32 and 33, it says, "But as for you, your corpses will fall in this wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until the corpses lie in the wilderness." And of course they were right. Because in 38 years and 9 months, when they crossed into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb were the only two. The only two that went into the promised land over the age of 20 years old. Well, it's the mindset of the spies, the 10. They had unbelief. They had worldly sorrow. They were upset. They murmured. They were looking back towards Egypt. They were traitors. They rebelled. They provoked the Lord. They didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. They were violent. They wanted to put Joshua and Caleb to death. And they were spiritual whores. Well, quickly, we look at the mindset of Joshua and Caleb. In the mindset of Joshua and Caleb, it says in Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 24. Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit." They had a different spirit than these other 10 men over here. It said we're like grasshoppers. We're like grasshoppers in the land. What Caleb and Joshua actually were telling the people were, these giants, they're the ones that are the grasshoppers, because with the power of God behind us, we're able to go, we're going to overtake this land, and there's nothing that's going to stop us. But they couldn't see that. Same passage. Not only did Caleb have a different spirit, but it also says in chapter 14 and in verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit and has followed me fully." We see messages like this throughout the five books of Moses. We see messages like that they have completed the pattern. They follow the pattern. They followed according to the pattern. We see here that Caleb and Joshua, they are ones that are going to follow the Lord fully. This is a mindset. This is a mindset of a person that's faithful to God. He or she is going to have a different spirit. He or she is going to follow the Lord fully. Not just half-hearted, not just halfway, but I am going to follow God fully. And this was the message of these men. Not only that, but we also see that these men had a great faith. In chapter 13 and in verse 30, it says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up and take possession of it. For we will surely overcome it.'" In chapter 14 and in verses 8 and 9, it says, "If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." What is he saying? The message he's teaching is Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And these two men heard that if we're faithful, if we believe in God, if we trust in God, then we're going to be able to go over into that land of promise, that land that he says is flowing with milk and honey, and we're going to be able to overtake that land. The other 10 men didn't believe that. But they did. Because of the faith that they had in God. In Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 6, we see something else. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, of those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. These other men here at the beginning of chapter 14, they had a worldly sorrow. They were upset. They wanted to go back to Egypt again. But these two men, they had a godly sorrow. They say, please change us to where we're able to go into the land of promise. We want to repent of what these people have done. A godly sorrow. Also, we see that they had courage. In chapter 13 and in verse 33. Chapter 13, verse 33. "There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak who were part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." But over in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 4 it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." And these two men believed that. They believed that they were able to go and destroy these giants. They believed that they were able to go and defeat these fortified cities. These fortified cities that has went up as far as heaven, it talks about. But they had a belief in God concerning that, and a faith in God that showed out in their courage. In Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 9, It says, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. You fear God more. And the idea here is also that you respect God. You respect God's word. You reverence God's word concerning what he says. Because in actuality, what they were doing, they were respecting what the giants were wanting them to believe. And lastly here, and the lesson will be yours for tonight. Over in Hebrews and in chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verses 12 through 14. Hebrews 3 and verses 12 through 14. It says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Certainly what had happened with these spies, 10 spies. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Do you want to be a partaker of Christ tonight? You want to be a part of God's family tonight. There are those in the audience tonight that still need to become Christians. And maybe there's those in the audience tonight that haven't lived the way that you should, where you need to turn back to the Lord once again. Whatever your need might be, I invite you to come down. While together we stand, we sing.